with Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, and we will begin reading at verse 34. I hope that I managed to get these notes down in a manner, in a way that makes sense. I was counting on waking up at 5 o'clock this morning without the alarm so I could have more time to think about it, but I didn't wake up till six, so anyhow, poor day to sleep in on my part, but I did. So anyhow, Matthew 22:34, and we'll begin reading. But the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence. But when they heard that, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And just pray, Lord, that you would help as I stammer and stutter and try to deliver these thoughts that you've given. Just pray, Lord, that you would use it in our hearts and our lives in the days to come to make us more like Christ and keep us serving you with joy as we continue through these trying days. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So verse 37 says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And I asked myself, so what does that look like? D.L. Moody, most of you have heard of Dwight Moody. Fellow evangelist R.A. Torrey, most of you have probably heard of him, revealed the secret to Moody's incredible success. The first thing that accounts for God's using D.L. Moody so mightily was that he was a fully surrendered man. Every ounce of that 280-pound body of his belonged to God. Everything he was and everything he had belonged wholly to God. Years ago, this is 1700s, D.L. Moody heard British evangelist Henry Varley utter these life-changing words. The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. It was after an all-night prayer meeting in Dublin. And Varley did not even remember making the statement when Moody reminded him of it a year later. But Moody had walked out of that prayer meeting with those words etched in his mind, and he resolved to be such a person. And I think, you know, I've heard a lot of sermons over my life, and there are just some. I couldn't necessarily tell you what the title was, but there are some sermons that I've heard where the thought of that sermon has just stuck with me over the years. And it just amazes me how a man like Henry Varley could make that statement, and just like we make maybe a profound statement or whatever, and it's so quickly forgotten. I like to write, and I'm constantly writing things, and it doesn't take very long. I can go back and reread what I've written, and it seems fresh and anew to me. It's like, wow. It's like I never had heard that before. So that's my mind. So anyhow, that's the mind of a man. So anyhow, he purposed to be that kind of a person. And I have to ask myself, so just what are we all doing here? Are we so wrapped up in the things, the needs, and the pleasures of this world that we don't have time to do the things that really matter? I'm asking myself this too, because I can't even really imagine what it'd be like to have the mind that D.L. Moody had at that time, and to be just wholly and fully surrendered to doing everything for God. I thought I was doing really good a few years back, that I was taking the attitude, especially on my days off, to wake up and say, now, what does God want me to do today? Oh, I'm such a good person. And you know, that lasted for a little while. And then not too long down the road, there I was, not even considering what God wanted me to do with my time off. I was just doing whatever I pleased, whatever I had to do usually. So anyhow, so what are we doing here? Philippians 4:10-14 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Do we know how to be content while suffering need? I mean, we are Americans. We have life so good. I mean, when we think of needs, it's hard to imagine really needing anything as an American. We have pretty much everything we want. Although having what we want is a vicious cycle. It just leads to us wanting more. And so, I mean, in my life, I get consumed with I need this now and I need that now. How am I going to? So what do? We work harder. We work longer. Most of my life, I either had one job that consumed most of my day, or I had two jobs because one wasn't enough. And in Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or, I shouldn't have stapled these together, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 30 ends with, O ye of little faith. What if D.L. Moody had deemed it so that God couldn't do much with a man wholly committed to him? He had known hard days prior to becoming a shoe salesman, by which he was making really good money. Do we know how to be content while suffering need? Or do we work overtime, take a second job? Yes. Until that need is taken care of, only to find there's more and more and more needs to fill. What in your life is keeping you from having the same response to Henry Varley's words? Is it a lack of want to, or is it something else? How many of us men are hung up with the task of carving out a decent living, or just the struggle to keep up with the bills these days? I don't think any of us can say we have lived in a time such as this, where it takes so much to do so little. Are these words from Matthew 6:33 no longer applicable today? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. O ye of little faith. And the song is not in our book. It's in the old book. There's a song. It says, I wish I had given him more. So I'm going to read the lyrics. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my love than I ever gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-riven hands. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more, more of my love than I ever gave before. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. In the light of that heavenly place, light from his face, beautiful face, in the light of that heavenly place, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. Treasures unbounded for him I adore. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, and to live for him. And I didn't come up here and say all these mean things to discourage you. I came up here to encourage you to do better. We all could do better. I think, how many of you guys would agree? We could all do better. Amen. All right. And that is the purpose of what I said today. I think I sometimes come across as being pretty hard-hearted and mean. But, you know, that's how I have to treat myself in order to get my attention. And so, hopefully, you know, and I thought of it, it's not, O ye of little faith, it's, O me of little faith. And because I'm right in the boat. So anyhow, I just pray that the Lord will use these words and the testimony of a man like D.L. Moody. It's all over the internet. If you want to go read more about his life, we have the luxury of the internet. And there are good things on there to be reading and consuming and to filling our minds with, rather than a lot of junk on Facebook. Amen. All right, that's all I had for you today, so let's be dismissed in prayer. And Father, we do thank you that you allowed us to be in your house today. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to do above and beyond anything we imagine. We thank you, Lord, that D.L. Moody didn't find you lacking. We thank you, Lord. Suddenly I've forgotten his name, but we all know the fellow with the orphanage over in England, how he sat down and gave thanks for things he didn't even have yet, for food, for provision for those children. And yet, they didn't lack. Help us to realize, Lord, that you are able to do above and beyond all we can imagine in our lives and in our church. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor. We ask, Lord, you watch over him as he travels today. We ask, Lord, you just be with him. Keep him safe there and back. You with his family as they're here without him. Just pray, Lord, that you give us a great week. And we look forward to being in your house again Wednesday night. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.